ListenUpNorth.com presents Hartley Pit Disaster, January the 16th, 1862, recorded in the Mining Institute, Newcastle upon Tyne.
St. Albans Churchyard by Jeff Holland. It is January, St. Albans bells cry out. A single shaft of light cuts through the trees. The snow lies thin. In this threadbare corner, names are carved in stone. Armstrong, Duffy, Ford and Young. The north wind blows and barren fields stretch out. On this bleak winter's day, a shadow's cast to Hartley and beyond. Beneath a broken beam, two shifts collide, Hindmarsh, Hodge and Gallagher entwined in death. The light begins to fade. A hooded crow descends, black as coal. Death resurrects the past. New Hartley by Jeff Holland. Crocuses grow and Hartley hides its grief. Traffic flows where wagons hauled and black dust filled the air. The children play where miners worked the seam. The Blythe and Tyne slips past. Buick, Brown and Nicholson, a shift too far. Death demanded change. The pit is gone, King Cole dethroned, laid quietly to rest. The dappled light and birdsong on the breeze, a hint of spring wanders across the fields. Hartley thrives.
Extracts from an Almanac, written and read by Pippa Little. H stands high, hard-weighted, for Hartley, Hester, the single pit blocked by the fallen beam across it. And H is the cart with long shafts, waiting for horse and coffin to haul its weary way to Ersden. The sound the wind makes is an H when it's low and curious, shh, it whispers, rousing the ashy fumes of a cold hearth. C is for Cole, King and Mr. Carr, the hard crust of it, bent back of a hewer in a low seam, naked pale in that inky chamber. C is a new moon above the rose, clean and thin as the rim of a glass made in the dead's memory, through pale clouds scrim across the coaly sky. For all on either side of dead or living, H is a patient headstone, C a cupped hand open.
Memorial Mine, written and read by Dave Alton. Bare hands must be employed digging bare earth, down deep and deeper, exposing true worth of petrifying darkness, deposits of absolute blackness in faltered bits, made precious through clear exclusion of light. Memorialists have customary right to scavenge such gloomy fragments they find into the bell of a pestle and grind from them an attritus so fine and pure it blends readily with tears shed to cure those broken hearts and dislocated souls of the living left with the pain that falls on widows and their children. This dark mix, being the only somber ink a scribe picks for charging heavy pens or the cartridge in the printer. How best might a slight bridge, arching from mourning towards memory, be composed? It hardly seems the story can be fully related by a list of copper-plated names doomed to exist as an alphabetical register. Where amongst the mister after mister are the scurrilous handles, the personal tags that mock and banter, those name calls and gags between mates, the pet names lovers choose intimately for each other? To lose them, not to use them, gives dramatic sense that the formal ledgers of condolence record only the dead and not their lives. And yet, having no such record deprives them of that meagre immortality, even monumental banality, preferable to anonymous absence, when motes of coal dust settle, immense beam still blocks the shaft to light, like a knife slicing through, cutting off vision for life, leaving only the darkness to be mined, winding sadness to the surface, refined to a roll call, stretching all the way south from Hartley and through Gresford to Greymouth.
History Lesson, written and read by Elaine Cusack. Y'all read Mara, where we gonna meet then? The young man sitting opposite me on the metro into town from the coast is finalising tonight's plan of action. I try guessing his age, early 20s, and smile at the memory of Friday nights out and about Newcastle with mates. Mind, we never had mobile phones back then, and I never used the word Mara, but it was part of my childhood, along with bait, midden, and gallowers in the field. Coal mining had its own language, which I taught myself as the mines closed down round here. I saw secret kingdoms in my nan's fire and kept imaginary gallowers in the coal shed at the side of her house. It's hard not to be sentimental when you're a sapling on the northern coal field. I bite my lip when I hear Gresford or see archive footage of striking miners. I want to be reminded of the facts. That's why I visit Beamish and Woodhorn. But there's another place I drive to when I need to connect with local history. It always rains when I visit Ersden, a pretty village 2 miles from my home. I dress for the weather, take a notebook and pen, and force myself to breathe deeply as I head into St Albans churchyard. I walk round the church and soon am beside that horrible, beautiful obelisk, the Hartley Disaster Memorial. I circle it slowly, reading each name and age from 10 to 71 years. And my eyes swim with identical surnames of dead brothers, uncles, fathers and sons. There were heroes above and below ground in January 1862. Miners, widows, vicars, coffin makers, plus men like Watson, Coulson and Weems Reed. There were villains too, who came to gawp at swollen stiff corpses, but most wanted to support a community let down by willful ignorance of recent events. In this age of advanced capitalism, there's still so much we can learn from our past. Let Hartley remind you to cherish your family, your community, and your Maras.
The Village Schoolroom, and it's written and read by G.F. Phillips. After the engine beam split and iron had crashed in by, down the one and only shaft it smashed, upon the back shift's unsuspected men, and here the pit hierarchy moved in, an unplanned requisition, taken over in this absence of a lesson. The monitor's time center's bell was rung, unmarked slates were blank as worn faces, those silent rescuers, their pit boots, clarted with mud, carried in, rough-shod, this very stuff of coaly earth. Behind this door of kith and kin, there were only overseers to turn to, almost played out, given one last chance, those desperate men wouldn't be knocked back by the rise of gas, the fall of debris, everything hung in the balance. But that following Saturday came the grimmest news up from below, and so began more tea and sympathy in that patriarchal cycle of pit ways, lads, fathers, born breadwinners to their task, and lasses knew all their names off by heart.
The Jowling, written and read by Pippa Little. Thin snow on the coaly road, black figures singly in clumps, stunned to stillness. Beacons flare on the pit's high platform, the heaps ashy grey and sparkling in the morning air. Ropes, thick as a man's leg, glide up and down like greasy serpents from the hole where lights burn, will o' the wisps. 2 days since the back shift and the fore shift met and never parted. The beams crack through 20 tons cast iron down that narrow neck, sealed them like wasps in a kill bottle. 4 days before their maras bring them out, tenderly, one by one in a sailcloth sling, over 17 hours, risking the scythe gas, the dark, the drenching cold, fresh falls of stone. The first man found, John Gallagher, is sitting apparently asleep. Further in, rows huddle close. John Little holds his namesake, 11, in his arms. Around him, Thomas, George, and John, all sons. Thomas, his brother. A day from now, there will be 6 coffins in his front room, stacked floor to floor, for space is scarce. Today, his Catherine walks in circles at the pit head, waiting. The air glints, difficult to breathe. Steely as a moon, this sun, whiter than sky. Now some disturbance on the air gathers and darkens, swarm that slithers deep inside her ear. Now they are there in her forever, muffled and faint as a hymn or lullaby, insistent as the wind.
The Hartley Pit Disaster, 1862. Written and read by Robert Lonsdale. An unforgettable, almighty struggle took place at Hartley Pit in 1862. Prayers and tears filled the bitter winter sky around the mangled pit shaft. Stout pitmen, able and true, struggled valiantly to break on through the unforgiving wreckage and chaos disaster brings, toiling tirelessly amid frantic family cries and woes to reach their kinfolk and friends trapped below. A heavy cast metal broken beam barred their solemn way. Frantically they dug and heaved and dug and heaved again to open up the toxic choking tomb. Day after long day they slaved away through the deathly damp and gloom, until the fearful news crept out like an overpowering misty shroud from the dark depths below, and spoke of the Hartley men and lads who had lost their lives on that sombre changeover day. Heartbreaking news that altered the lives of many noble folk and will never be forgotten or left to fade away. 150 years on, the grieving still gather at the graves of the Hartley men and lads and remember their sad fate, while brave pitmen from around the globe look down from heaven's gate and mourn the loss of all good men and lads who met their saints labouring underground.
Hartley Pit Disaster, January the 16th, 1862. Written and read by Keith Armstrong. What was it there on Hartley Heap caused the mother and child to weep? Cold January's gripped our throbbing hearts and torn them, still the sea rolls on. This earth's barrels stink of our loved ones' deaths, the air tastes foul, still the sea rolls on. They don black gloves, drag out the bodies one by one. The death-stained faces seem to smile, still the sea rolls on. We're the widows of Hartley, our men and boys are dead. Our lives cracked open, damp corpses in our beds, still the sea rolls on. We clutch cold messages from dukes and queens, we wipe the cold dust from our widowed eyes. The coffin maker's heavy hammers beat, keep time with lapping parlour clocks, and still the sea rolls on, still the sea rolls on. Still the sea, where the widows of Hartley, our men and boys are dead. Take away your stumbling words and give us bread.
Hartley, Tally Choked Up, written and read by Dave Alton. On his final Friday, he pinched the chalk from a box on the teacher's desk, pristine, unworked against an anthracite blackboard to a fine point by which to contradict blankness with script and learning defined white. It would have been a thrashing, of course, last day or no, had he been caught, but no one counted when the terminal home bell rang. Come Monday, and he'd carry that whiteness down into the dark depths of his new earth, a boy no longer, whatever his age. He'd leave a mark for sure on the cold face, perhaps little bright dots as telltale crumbs to find his way back again from under the pressing weight of so many fallen trees. That stick of chalk was not in his pocket when his body was hauled to the surface, past the cast iron beam, fractured and fallen, lodged in the shaft like a bone in the throat, dividing cries from the realms of silence, air from the deadly sovereignty of gas. Under how many bushels of darkness was the light of his life hidden, his chalk still blunt at both ends, incongruously white, a crumble of bones beneath brittle woods.
204 Men and Boys, written and read by Catherine Graham. 204 Men and Boys, Hartley Pit Disaster, 16th of January, 1862. I'd swear I saw him in the street. I swear I heard him singing, for he always had a canny voice, a gift in such a young'un. Don't tell me he's not singing now, hoying stones from them damn wagons, and I'll not believe he'll not answer to any of his names. For he'd surely answer to his ma with a line from our special song, the song I'd sing him to sleep with from being a babby in me arms. I thank people for their kindness, and I'm glad his father held him, and I cannot help but wonder if it was that song he would be singing. For as sure as cursed coal is black, the bairn would sing his young heart out, singing till they all fell asleep, one by one, never to waken.
The Hartley Calamity, written by Joseph Skipsey, read by Keith Armstrong. The Hartley men are noble, and you'll hear a tale of woe. I'll tell the doom of the Hartley men, the year of 62. 'Twas on the Thursday morning, on the first month of the year, when there befell the thing that well may rend the heart to hear. Ere Chanticleer, with music rare, awakes the old homestead, the Hartley men are up and off to earn their daily bread. On they toil, with heat they broil, and streams of sweat still glue the stour into their skins, till they are black as the coal they hew. Now to and fro the putters go, the wagons to and fro, and clang on clang the wheel and hoof ring in the mine below. The din and strife of human life, awake and wall and board, when lo, a shock is felt which makes each human heartbeat heard. Each bosom thuds as each his duds he snatches and away, and to the distant shaft he flees with all the speed he may. Each all they flee, by two, by three, they seek the shaft to seek, an answer in each other's face to what they may not speak. Are we entombed, they seem to ask, for the shaft is closed, and no escape have they to God's bright day from out the night below. So stand in pain the Hartley men, and o'er them speedily comes the memory of home and all that links us to our homes. Despair at length renews their strength, and they the shaft must clear, and soon the sound of mall and pick half drowns the voice of fear. And hark to the blow of the mall below, do the sounds above reply, hurrah, hurrah for the Hartley men, for now their rescue's nigh. Their rescue nigh, the sound of joy and hope have ceased, and ere a breath is drawn, a rumble heard, redries them to despair. Together now behold them bow, their burdened souls unload, and cries that never rise in vain to the living God. Whilst yet they kneel again, they feel their strength renewed again. The swing and the ring of the mall attests the might of the Hartley men. And hark to the blow of the mall below, do sounds above reply. Hurrah, hurrah for the Hartley men, for now their rescue's nigh. But lo, yon light, erewhile so bright, no longer lights the scene.
a cloud of mist yon light has kissed and shorn it of its sheen. A cloud of mist yon light has kissed, see how long it steals, till one by one the lights are smote, and deep the doom prevails. O Father, till the shaft is rid, close, close beside me keep, my eyelids are together glued, and I must sleep. Sleep, darling, sleep, and I will keep, close by, hey-ho, to keep. Himself awake the Father strives, but he too must sleep. O brother, till the shaft is rid, close, close beside me keep. My eyelids are together glued, and I must sleep. Sleep, brother, sleep, and I will keep, close by, hey-ho, to keep. Half awake the brother strives, but he too must sleep. O mother dear, wert thou near, while sleep? And the orphan slept, and all night long by the black pit heap the mother a dumb watch kept. And fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, the lover and the new-made bride, a vigil kept for those who slept from eve to morning tide. But they slept, still in silence dread, 200 old and young, to awake when heaven and earth have sped, and the last dread trumpet rung.